According to the clock on here, it is 9:24 p.m. So cool. We ran way over, and I apologize. Shit.
It's fine. I'm ready. I'm ready to party.
It also means that our computer is terrible.
That's like my dead grandfather's watch that I'm wearing.
Was that ever in somebody's butt?
Not as far as I know.
You never know, though. Every watch has
a story. But you never know.
Every watch
has a story. Could be a butt watch.
Every watch has a story.
Every watch has a story. Yeah.
Is it almost, is it coming up on three?
Yeah.
2:48.
Yeah, all right.
Watching us.
Watch is gone.
What?
Were you singing knock 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 on heaven?
Watch, doing a weird medley.
In the cold November watch.
Oh boy.
Wow.
Next step, Beth.
Yeah.
You guys don't
watch.
Next step. I am watch. Then we watch a little watch.
Now it's time for Philip's been watching you from the corner.
I am Philip.
I am Matt.
First we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our ring brothers.
Now it's time for Next Step Pets.
And we're here today with the cast of Totes Recall. Hi, cast.
Hi.
Hi.
Cast.
Yeah, well, you are. You run the show.
We're a cast of a cast.
You're on it.
Cast.
So for anybody who doesn't know, Totes Recall is a podcast on the noisepicnic.com consortium of podcasts, of which we are also a part.
Synergy.
So, yeah, that's right. This is all part of the corporate model.
Yeah, we are required to do crossover Levi episodes.
Levi and Eric forced us to do this.
Yeah, Levi and Eric forced us, so... thanks, guys.
Yeah. Levi Weinhagen and Eric McEwen.
That's right.
Yep. Let's just bang this out and get it over with. So you can go back to having guests you actually want.
I think it's nice that we're able to do this over Skype.
Right.
And, yeah. So, can you guys introduce yourselves, please?
My name is Dan.
I'm Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
Dan, can you maybe distinguish yourselves?
My name is Dan Jaquette.
I am Dan Linden, the cute one.
I'm the smart one.
That's fine.
So Molly and Beth, are one of you the dangerous one and one of you the shy one?
Yes.
Like a boy band sort of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
We won't tell you which one is which, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
but I might be brooding.
Oh. Nice. Wow.
One of them knows Krav Maga.
And as always, I am joined today by...
Philip Simondet, the creepy one. And your host, as always...
Matt McLeod, the hosty one.
Yeah.
There usually is a creepy one in the boy bands, right? The one that's like 10 years older than
the 10 years older
them.
One, yeah. Just like looks, Donnie in the New Kid.
Or they just look like they've seen some shit. Can I swear on this?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, good.
You can swear. Ooh. Do you guys get to swear on your show?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm on it, so yes.
Yeah, so copious amounts?
Not copious, just...
Lot. The appropriate amount.
It's a fucking lot. I gave up on filtering myself when it was just me and my mom in my house when I was a teenager, so I have lived that life since then. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, cast.
What is this strange insistence on calling them a cast?
I don't know.
Don't do that with anybody else.
No, I have before.
Have you?
Okay. Yeah, with Sketch Lab. But I mean, because it's not like you're a performing group under the name Totes Recall.
Right.
So
we don't perform anything except a podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't call yourself Totes Recall. The show is called Totes Recall. So, am I right?
You're blowing my mind
right
now.
Everyone's nodding your head. Right now.
I have never thought about that.
But
you are right.
We're not staff because there's no money.
Right.
So, yeah. That seems correct.
So, cast, producers, creators, crew, the whole nine yards. You're all of it.
Well, Beth is technically our producer.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, more than technically. She's our
she is our producer.
Quite literally. Yeah.
And I head up the art department because I made one graphic.
Yep.
Nice.
I am the newsletter writer for one of the newsletters.
Yep.
So you're PR.
Sure.
Yeah. And Dan's tall.
I'm the talent.
Okay.
He's a dynamo.
Yeah.
Excellent. And could you explain to anybody who hasn't listened to the podcast, even though they're shitty,
what... Oh, the people are shitty. I thought you were talking about the podcast.
No. Yeah, no, the people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unpack okay. that sentence.
Sure,
and you'll
let's
see
alienate anyone who hasn't
shitty.
Listened to it.
Matt invited us here just to shit on the shit.
Yeah. No, the podcast is great. I love the podcast. But
thank you.
Anybody who hasn't listened to it, though, what is the concept behind it?
Everybody's looking at me since I do it on our podcast, but it's the podcast where we talk about a movie we barely remember.
Mm-hmm.
We watch that movie and then we talk about it again.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we watch the movie and have pizza.
Yeah, don't forget about pizza.
I forget that we have pizza.
Pizza's very important.
Very important.
Yes.
And then we talk about it again and see what we got right and or wrong.
Usually wrong.
Usually wrong. That's when they're best. It's when
yes.
they got
yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of
when
things
they're...
wrong.
Like we just remembered a different movie altogether.
Yeah, or forgot like the last 40 minutes.
Yeah. Or in Molly's case, actually never saw that movie. That's happened at least twice, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. I listened to one of those episodes. So really, this is a very brooding, serious treatise on the nature of memory.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's basically like a Proust.
Uh-huh.
A work of Proust.
Yeah, yeah. What is it? Remember
it
Things
matter.
Past? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never read it, so I just made that reference to sound cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you sounded super cool.
You sounded really cool.
I was like, wow, really Dan's cool.
Yeah, we talk a lot about what is reality, mm-hmm. How does perception
mm-hmm.
work into that factor? Like, does a movie really exist if you don't remember it right?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
None of that is actually true.
Right. It's actually just a bunch of knuckleheads just making dumb jokes about the movie. And I think, although I think we have a somewhat unique perspective on talking about movies, because Lord knows there are plenty of podcasts about people sitting in a basement talking about movies.
Yep.
But I think that just the fact that it's not like we're coming at this as... Either we're not coming at this as fans or critics of the movie.
Sure.
It is really just sort of like, it's sort of just us exploring, I don't know, like how we, I don't know, it's sort of just like a very in the moment, like, here's how we experience this movie mm-hmm. at this specific time.
Right.
Well, and what's even better is there's, I think, a 16-year age range between us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've all experienced the movie for the first time at different points in our life and
sure.
via different mm-hmm. mediums. Like, one person may have actually seen it in a theater and then someone else maybe just caught it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that piece combined with watching it all together and then talking about it again after makes for some really interesting parts. But
yeah.
But the reason it started is we were talking about a movie that none of us could remember the details to.
Yeah, I remember what movie it is. Do you guys want to hear? Here, let's
yes.
see if you guys can guess it from my shitty description of it. the guy who played Rorschach in the Watchmen
uh-huh.
movie, he plays
a
creepy pedophile who ends up cutting his donger off at the end. And I think maybe Aaron Eckhart's in it. And
nope.
No? Isn't he the dude in it?
Nope.
Okay. Well, curveball. Some of my facts are wrong because my memory is terrible. Yeah, but it's mostly a story about a stay-at-home dad and a stay-at-home mom who end up having an affair because they meet at the communal pool a lot with their children. It's a pretty dark movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That does not sound like anything I've ever
I think
heard
it's
of.
Maybe called Little Children.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I remember that is the movie you were talking
yeah.
about.
Yes. We were at Dan Linden's Halloween party, and I don't know why that came up, probably something gross. Mm-hmm. And I was like, have you seen this movie? It's because it's a really good movie. Like, it's dark, but it's great. It's a great movie. And I don't think anybody had seen it. And no one could guess what it was. And they were like, what if we just did a podcast where we try to explain movies that we don't remember?
Well, or just remember wrong. Like,
yeah.
I remember watching E.T., and I've talked to some mm-hmm. of my friends who are my age about E.T., and at the very end, when this, spoiler alert, when the spaceship comes down and E.T. is about to go home, what I distinctly remember is his mom being at the top of the stairs. and it's just his mom.
Oh.
And if you watch the actual movie, or if you're not between the ages of 5 and 10 when it first came out, you realize it's just three aliens that look exactly like him, and there's no reason to think one of them would be his mom, and it's not even particularly
emotional. But you built that in your kid head.
Who else is going to come back for you but your mom? Hmm. And I was thinking about how, yeah, the moment when you see a movie, it influences so much about your perceptions and how you remember it.
Yeah. I had another moment when I was in college, and they, you know, they'd show free movies, and The NeverEnding Story was gonna play, and my friend had never seen it, and I was like, oh no, it's good, like it's a fun movie, and like, oh, and like the chick in it, she's pretty hot, so like we'll go and check it out. Flash forward to when she appears, and she's like an 8-year-old girl. And I was like, oh, yikes. Oh shit, what have I done? But when I saw it, I was probably about that age, and I was like, she's a beautiful
Bastion?
Princess. Yeah, exactly.
Or like, there are a lot of movies that were like pop cultural touchstones for me that my wife has never seen, and some of them just like, oh, you should totally see this. And there have been multiple occasions where like halfway through, she's like, why are we watching this? This isn't, like, it's not good. And it's like, and it's just, there's nothing there for her.
Yeah.
Because she's an adult woman.
Yeah.
With like an adult brain who can see through all of the like.
No, really,
obvious
Ace Ventura Pet Detective is amazing. It'll eventually get better.
Well, like, she went to, like, she had never seen any of the Star Wars movies.
Sure.
And she even said, like when we were at the theater a couple months ago, and like a trailer for the newer one came on. And right after the trailer, she just leaned and she's like, why does, and you know, people were like, freaking out. And then she leaned over and she's like, why does anybody give a shit about these movies? Because she saw them like last year. You know what I mean? And I just was like, right. I don't know, because they were just there. Like they were just like it was like a warm blanket when you were a kid. It was just like this fun thing with colors and sounds. But yeah, if you see them now, you're just like, oh, these are really pretty dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much wrapped up in a movie of, like that it when it came out. Like, because most movies aren't timeless.
No.
Like some are like still good, but most it's like you got to watch them, especially comedies. Yes. I think we've found like really like it's hard to have a timeless comedy. Like they're really rooted in the time that they're in.
Yeah.
We discovered that when we watched City Slickers, which we ended up really not liking at all.
Right.
And it, the humor was just so weird and like jokey, like real winky. And it's just, like the compared to comedies now, which are so different, but in 15 years, everybody will watch, you know, 40-Year-Old Virgin and be like, what is this?
Yeah,
this is
why do
dumb.
I give a shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting to explore the, like, what period it's in and then also connect with, like, what was going on in our lives. Usually we figure out if we were going on dates, which none of us were. Which is why we do a comedy podcast now.
Uh-huh. I feel like sometimes Molly was.
Sometimes
there have been a few where you're like, I went to this movie with a human being.
Yes, but it's never the movie we're watching.
So how do you figure out what movies you're going to be talking about?
We have a Google spreadsheet where we just list movies that we think of, like, and then we all say, yes, we've seen it, no, we haven't seen it, or yes, we remember it too well.
Okay.
And so we've done, usually we go for the movies that all of us have seen and we're like, oh, that sounds fun. But we've done a couple now that either one of us hasn't seen it. Grease, Dan Jaquette had not seen before, and he recalled it pretty well. Spoiler alert for that podcast, without having seen it. And then our most recent episode, we watched Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, and Molly was the only person who had seen it. And so we all tried to remember the movie without having seen it before.
And
so,
pretty accurately.
We did okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We actually remembered a better movie, I think. Like, yeah. I think we remembered a better sounding movie.
You're saying that Tokyo Drift, like, adhered to tropes that you could maybe guess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's surprising. Weird. It's surprising.
Pretty crazy.
But it actually adhered to less tropes than I would have liked. So,
interesting.
It was kind of disappointing, actually.
Yeah, there were definitely some parts where I was like, this would definitely be in a movie like this that totally wasn't.
Yeah. And that's a big, that's actually one of the funnest parts for me doing the show is, like, I'm obsessed with story structure.
Yeah.
And kind of the science behind screenplay writing. So it is kind of really fun to, because we do that a lot, especially in the first half of the show, we're just kind of guessing. It's like, a lot of us will just reach for things just based on what we expect the tone of the movie to be. Because, mm-hmm. like, movies are, like, a lot of them are incredibly formulaic.
Yeah.
And, like, always are sort of trying to hit the exact same beats because they, you know, there are men in very nice suits who are very rich, who have spent a lot of time figuring out how to what get the biggest want. Return yeah. on the millions of dollars they just dropped on yep. some probably really dumb sounding story that was pitched to them. So that's always fun for me, is to just sort of like throw out like, this probably happens just because it's this kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really fun to see how often we're right. But it's also even more fun to see how, not just that we were wrong, but how like it actually did something even dumber
mm-hmm.
or like more cliche. Sometimes we give movies too much credit.
Or sometimes not nearly enough.
Yeah.
And I actually end up being really enchanted by a movie that I had completely underestimated.
Yes.
Or...
Can you give an example of when that's happened?
For sure, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, yeah.
We
you want to talk about a comedy
that
was timeless. It is so fun. I don't know how. And it's from a time when kids were allowed to be a little edgier and more independent than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And even trying to imagine pitching the story and having it go through doesn't feel like that would be possible to do.
Yeah, that movie was great. Like it seems like when you think back, it seems like just a shitty kids movie with Rick Moranis in it. But like every character has their own like emotional arc that they go through and like that has a resolution at the end. Even
Including the cat.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. And just like there's a really good mix of like the kids having real moments with each other that are believable, intermixed with it's, you know, it's a story about parents losing their children in a way, which is like that's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And they deal with that, you know, not in like a super heavy way, but enough where it's like, yeah, it makes sense that like your kids are missing. Like there's certain realities that follow from that. And it dealt with that while still being like a pretty fun romp through giant ants and honeybees.
And African Queen, I think, is another good example of, you know, it's on a lot of lists for really good reason.
Yeah.
But I was so delighted by that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's just really...
Yeah, that's another movie like where, I don't know, I don't remember when you guys watched it, but I watched, like my dad maybe watched it when I was probably too young to really appreciate it as like a good piece of cinema. And now it's like as a full-grown man.
But he didn't
really
cue it up for you as a good piece of cinema.
Well, I think he did, but he also was very charmed by Katie Hipps.
Like fun.
Who, here's a fun fact for... fans of the podcast, I just last week realized Katharine Hepburn and Audrey Hepburn were different people.
See, this is sort of like weird shit that also comes up in doing the show, which is fun, is like you get these little nuggets of like how we've all absorbed pop culture over the years too. Like not even necessarily that movie, not even necessarily the movie we're watching for that episode. Like we always end up talking about at least four other movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just
usually
because
Jurassic
that's,
Park 1.
I feel like, what?
Usually Jurassic Park.
Usually one. Jurassic Park, yes. But I feel like that's also just like how we as a culture process a lot of pop cultures. Like you have to make it, like you compare it to other things because that's just how the human brain works.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we end up talking about a movie that we then wish we were watching that movie instead.
But I love that on the opposite end of the spectrum of not knowing Audrey Hepburn from Katharine Hepburn, we have Beth Gibbs, who has watched the entire AFI Top 100 movies in order.
NBD.
And oh, NBD. Yeah, that means
did
no
you
big
watch
deal.
Them in order?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So starting
worst
from the bottom?
Best?
Yeah, from 100
that's
to 1.
That's
the
way you do it.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Can you really call it worst?
Yeah.
To best.
Relatively.
Well,
so, I don't know.
It starts with Yankee Doodle Dandy, so you can call that worst.
Okay.
I don't even know what that is.
It's not fair. A good movie.
It's the 100th best movie out of like millions of movies. How many movies are there? Total.
A lot.
Total.
Beth,
how many
do you know?
How many dreams are there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Unlimited.
Right.
Write in your answer to Next At Bat.
Yeah.
I don't care, but write it into Next At Bat.
Next At Bat, gmail.com.
Next
just,
At Bat podcast.
Just a number.
Damn it, I don't even know our own email address.
You should own bat.com. Then you can have Next At Bat.com.
Oh. Oh, Jesus.
Shit.
So good.
She's
guys,
so Beth good is, at
yeah,
this.
She's really good at
producing.
Do you
produce
want
to produce our podcast?
That's probably taken, but Bat Podcast maybe isn't.
True.
Okay.
I want this to be a reality. I think it's that kind of idea.
It's a great idea, but why are you diminishing your own idea?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, okay.
I feel like
I thought you were like batpodcast@gmail.com. And I was like, that's very different from what I was talking about.
That's just as good an observation. I'm really smart too.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So it sounds like even though the what you guys talk about on your show is pretty fun and pretty silly and stuff like that, it sounds like you actually put a fair amount of thought into this. Do you feel like, you know, in the process that you've been doing the show for about a year now? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Do you feel like in that year you've started to look at movies differently when you're watching them? And if so, how?
I feel traumatized by the 90s comedies or the 90s movies in general, because they're ones that I've held up in my mind as being great.
Yeah.
But Twister is a perfect example of a movie that I just could not wait for it to be over. It's mostly a couple arguing in the car, and when they get together in the end, it's actually sad.
Yeah.
To me now with my adult eyes on. I actually get nervous when we pick a 90s movie now, because I'm just braced for disappointment. I do want to add, though, for Tokyo Drift. It is a movie I was so excited about. I've seen it 4 times. I convinced the rest of the group to put it on our podcast. We watched it. It was terrible. I felt terrible about it. And then afterwards, I was writing up like a little article for newsletter that we are putting out. And while doing it, I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to watch that movie again. So I've actually returned. Like, I really love that movie.
It's like a guilty pleasure. You have to do it alone.
It's sort of funny how fast my memory fails. Like, we recorded Minority Report as sort of a test episode, and we didn't know if we'd release it or not. And then once we were a few episodes in, we're like, oh, that was probably still fun. Let's release it as like a bonus episode. It's a little rough, but it's still fun. And then
you already forgot it?
Yeah, no, but re-listening to the first half of it like 5-6 months later, I was like, yeah, Minority Report is great. And then like the second it comes in, it's like, it's pretty good, but it's so long.
Right.
It's such a long movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, already like 5 months later, I was like, this is great. Like, I'll go watch it again right now.
Well, Nat, I don't know, like, I feel like it sort of reinforced my attitude towards art in general. Like, a lot of people, like, I hate the internet because it's so, it's just pushed our entire culture into, like, taking a stand on art.
Oh. And it's where it's all like black and white.
Yeah, like, you either hate it or it sucks. Right, and it's just like, well, but...
You either hate it or it sucks.
Oh, right, you know, you know.
Sucks. Either hate it, it sucks.
Guys, all
art. Or you think it's awful.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, it's either like the best thing ever, or it's dumb and you're dumb for liking it. And I hate that, because art is so subjective as it is.
Right.
And like doing this podcast has just sort of reinforced my attitude towards consuming art, where it's just like there are moments in, like, I am a pretty critical when it comes to comedies, but like I will grant any of the like broadest, most hack sitcoms on TV right now, I'm sure there is going to be at least one joke in an episode that I'm like, oh, good job. Like, that's, you know, like my brain is like, that works. Clever. Haha. Yeah. So I think any piece of art like has some redeeming quality. I mean, or it's just complete garbage, but then it's amazing.
Yeah.
Then it's like actually like this incredible albatross to witness if it's like so bad that you're just amazed that enough people agreed to create it in the first place.
Showgirls.
Yeah, sure. I've never seen it. Oh, we should do No. What was I saying?
It's bad.
It's bad.
Oh, yeah. So it basically just like, what I like about this show is it's sort of like, I don't know. I feel like I sort of get to, almost like preach that attitude from our podcast of just sort of like, because like I feel like I at least, and I think it comes through with when we're recording, like I get so much joy out of like specific elements of the movies, like whether there's something like, this is so stupid, I love it, or like, this was actually really good. And I think it's just kind of refreshing for something to be on the internet that's like, let's just break this down and like actually discuss the nuances of it instead of just being like, this is dumb.
Yeah, this is so shitty and let's make fun of everybody who was a part of it.
Yeah.
Because if you think about about how hard it is to get anything
made. Oh my god, right? It's incredible. So hard.
Even a podcast.
It's hard to make a podcast.
Yeah, and sometimes I feel, yeah, I think that actually, I hadn't thought about it before you mentioned that, Dan, but I feel almost apologetic when there's something I just can't get behind a movie, that maybe there's something wrong with me or my perception. I mean, I'm fine with being critical of things, but I sort of tap the brakes around going to an immediate, oh, well, this whole thing is crap.
Mm-hmm. Beth has something to add. Everybody quiet.
I just think it's really interesting to, I realize how like passively I watch movies. Mm-hmm. Like there are so many movies that I've seen. And then when I try to remember what happened in them, they're just nothing like comes to mind. And so now when I watch movies, I feel like I actually am like thinking about like, okay, this is what's happening. These are important like plot points and like interesting things that are going on. And it's just, I've never had a situation where I've like taken notes watching a movie before. So it's like, it's really like, I don't know. I feel like there's like a different perspective when you go into a movie being like, okay, I'm like really watching this movie, as opposed to like this movie is coming at me.
Mm-hmm. I think we always try to hit on the representation of females in movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
Thanks
God.
Thanks for bringing that up, Dan.
Yeah.
You could.
It's an important part of our podcast, right?
Wait, was that a joke that a man brought it up?
Well, you guys weren't bringing it up.
I was trying to. I was waiting until after Beth finished.
Okay, but we'll get in there.
Too many strong male voices keep coming in and into.
All right, let's get a clean edit so it looked like Molly had the.
Pause. At this point in the show.
And can you tell Beth about it so that this
Molly,
podcast
can
pass
have
the Bechdel test?
Yeah.
Let's have a discussion about the Bechdel test right now.
I think that's a great idea. But yeah, I was going to say, building off of what you just said.
For the listener, Molly is looking directly at Beth.
That I think even watching movies with the Bechdel test in mind, which is there are two named female characters that talk to each other about something other than the male protagonist or men in general. It doesn't matter. You can actually make it even looser of a criteria and nothing passes. It's really incredible. Like, I think Honey, I Shrunk the Kids passed. But surprising number, including Minority Report and a lot of really big films that actually have a lot of women in them. Sometimes they never communicate with each other. So I watch a lot of shows and movies now, and even if they seem like they'd obviously pass, I still like am taking mental notes. Like, please just name that character. Please, somebody acknowledge that person. And things that have passed have been as simple as, hey, you look terrible. Thanks. Like, that's not exactly the dialogue. But, I mean, somebody called somebody a bitch, and it was still counted. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's a weird test. I'm like, now that I'm more aware of it, I'm like tense through movies. Like, I can't fully relax till like I get that check mark off and I'm like, all right, good. And so that's been a different experience in watching films where it's like waiting for it to happen. Like, cause it's so easy. Just put it in there. Just like, just throw it in there. Even if your movie is going to be terrible.
It's such a low bar.
And that's actually another thing.
That is such a low bar.
Right.
That's
another thing I like about our show is that I feel like that's sort of another unique quality about it is that while we're present, like the premise of the show is just sort of this like dumb kind of like game almost.
Right.
I like the fact that we're sort of like presenting, you know, like we're presenting these like this pop culture review type show, but we're still like adding in some cultural value to it without presenting the show specifically as like, here's four feminists talking about movies, because that is, I'm sure, a subgenre of podcasts that exists out there. Mm-hmm. And we certainly have no reason to directly contribute to that, because I'm sure there's like some much more scholarly people who are doing that already.
Like Proust.
Sure.
The great feminist.
Now is the time of the show where I throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner. It's Philip's Corner.
Wow.
All right, well, let's test this out.
Some jazz hands at the end there. I liked it.
So this is a new segment we're going to try today. This is a segment where I stare at you awkwardly, individually.
Great.
And then come up with a question by reading your soul through your eye holes. It's going to be a bad question. because I'm not good at this. And you're going to answer awesomely because you're professional talkers.
Right.
I mean, you're a cast. True. Dan Linden.
Yes. Philip.
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt for a second? Can you make that creepier?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Good note. See? This is producer role.
I'm a professional host.
Yeah. Right. Dan Linden.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
What's the first Halloween costume you remember?
Oh, like that I wore?
Yeah.
That's a really good question. I know it's... I think there was a point where I was in wearing like a... basically like a, you know, cloth bag that I've been like altered to look like a jack-o'-lantern. You know what I mean? Although I just saw a picture recently of my brother and I and some other kids wearing... pillowcase ghost costumes where we looked like a clan of the K of junior supremacists. And that picture was revealed to me in an improv show I just did with my brother where we had my wife find a bunch of old childhood photos of us and then I gave them the tech without knowing what they were, and the tech would project them on the screen. And my brother and I would talk about them and then do improv based on that. And that picture came up at the end of our last show. And our mother was in the audience and we didn't know that. And so we started talking about we just started ripping it apart, just making fun of like the fact that like adults put us in these costumes. Oh, God. And like suddenly my mom, like from the back of the theater, just goes, "They're pillowcases." And my brother and I both just stopped and looked down. I'm like, "Oh, our mother's here, everybody." It was a big hit. Like, a couple people afterwards came up to me and just like, "Oh my God, I was sitting in front of your mom, and like the entire time she was whispering to her friends, like, should I go up there? I feel like I should go up there. I feel like I have to say something." It was amazing. Well, so that might have been the first one, actually.
One for one.
Yay!
Wow.
Please don't keep score. Beth Gibbs.
Yes.
Racism in America is a rampant issue continuing to this day. What would you call a Bechdel test, but for like minorities?
Oh my God, talking what?
One for two.
Oh, this is a lot of pressure. Probably just a like a minority report.
Yes! Yeah,
nailed it. All right.
Spielberg.
Do you think movies being made today are more likely to pass the Bechdel test or the minority report?
That's a good question.
That is a good question. I think the minority report. No, I don't know. I have no idea. I'm going to keep an eye out for that now. That's interesting, actually. There's not a lot of movies with minorities in them that are like big blockbusters.
Now I'm trying to figure out what the qualifier would be. Like, women can't be talking about the male protagonist. What could the minorities not be talking about?
White people.
The white.
Yeah, yeah. The
characters.
Protagonists.
Right. I guess, yeah.
Like, or like maybe, like, let's say, for example, not that I've seen them, but I really want to, the Fast and the Furious soft trilogy of 5, 6, and 7. That franchise is actually being lauded right now because not only is it a successful blockbuster, but it also has like a hugely multicultural cast, mm-hmm. including Vin Diesel, mm-hmm. who has said in public interviews, "I am definitely a person of color," but he has been very coy about what his actual heritage is. And so that is like a big deal where it's like, oh, they're all just hanging out and like dealing with each other. So I guess it would probably be like, because usually in most movies still, like even if they do have a minority in the cast, I took over your question. I'm sorry.
No.
Patriarchy.
That's how this works.
They would just talk about the white protagonist because there aren't not white protagonists in most movies still.
Yeah.
We're not even the protagonist, just two not white people
right.
that are named to talk about another not white,
right.
something that's not a white person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I changed my mind. I think Minority Report would be least likely to pass in a movie.
Mm-hmm. That was a really good question.
Thank you. Yeah. Can you make that 2 for 2?
2 for 2.
All right.
Steph. Oh, so that was all one question?
Yeah.
That mutated into
one question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Multi-part question.
Part two.
I don't understand how the show works.
Do you have aspirations of being a host?
Uh-oh. Guys, one of these days...
Oh, my God.
I won't even need Matt McCall.
It was to be all Phillips Corner questions.
Hey, do you guys have room for a fifth?
It's a pretty small table.
Dan Jaquette.
Yes.
If there were like a really elaborate beard style that you think you could honestly pull off, what would it be?
That's a really good question.
For listeners, right now he's got a beard going. It's just like a lazy man's just growing beard, right?
Sure. It's a pretty standard grow all the hair at once.
Yeah.
type of beard. Occasionally shave my neck.
Good move.
And the tops of my cheeks. Mm-hmm. I am growing my mustache out right now, but I need to get some mustache wax to properly form that. But that's not your question. The problem with my facial hair is it doesn't grow in super dense. The follicles aren't dense, especially in my cheek region, so I can't grow a very large beard, which limits the styling choices that are available to me. But I think I could probably, like, my chin growth is pretty thick, so I could probably pull off, like, a gross, like, System of the Down super goatee.
Yeah.
Like, I could probably pull that off. That's my answer.
Yeah. What is the plan for the stash? Or is it secret at this point?
I'm just sort of probably going until someone is really disgusted by me on the street and, like... crosses to the other side because of my mustache, maybe? I don't know.
Are you keeping the rest of the hair?
Yeah, I'm growing it all, but like this is the longest my mustache has ever been, it's like extending. Usually I trim it to the top of my upper lip.
Comfort.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the hurdle I really had to get over by growing my mustache was to stop chewing on the mustache hairs. So I've gotten over that. Actually, I'm doing great on chewing, and generally I don't chew my nails anymore.
Oh, I see.
I also chew my food very well, but that hasn't been a problem for me. But I think I want to do it, like sweep it to the side, more like a, you know, like a 20s villain. Mm-hmm. Like get that going and see how that works with a beard. Mm-hmm. But I just haven't bought mustache wax yet.
I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
Why do you think that 1920s villains did sweep their mustaches to the side? Because they're so easily identifiable.
Yeah. I think it's so they could have something to hang on to, like the ends of it, to twirl. Mm-hmm. They say idle hands are the devil's playground. And so I assume that villains had a lot of idle hands, so much so that they had to play with their mustaches.
Or they'd be even more evil.
They'd be even more evil, yeah. Imagine a villain without a mustache could get away with way more because no one would be able to identify him, and his hands would be even more idle for crime and villainy.
Yeah.
Three for three.
Wow.
Why?
Mustache. Can I ask a question? Yeah. Is that a lot? When you say mustache wax, do you spell that M-U-S or M-O-U-S?
I usually spell mustache without the O, but I really like the O method. But
once you waxed it, would it have an O? Like, would you add the O on?
Oh, that's a great distinction. Mustache. No, I think the ones with O's are bushier, like a Ned Flanders. You know, like an old like barber or like a
the Pringles man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a bald-headed bartender with suspenders and just like a big old push broom.
Ron Swanson.
Yeah, that's a mustache.
This is usually the Totes Recall show, by the way. It's like 3 hours of this, and then Beth cuts all of that out and leaves part about the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So much mustache talk.
Mm-hmm. Molly. Do you have any bad habits that you've either conquered or want to conquer? Oh, the Dans are very intent. I think they have something they wish you stopped doing.
No, not at all.
No.
One of my New Year's resolutions that I left in the dust was that I endeavor every day to achieve is to only say sorry when a situation merits apology and only say thank you when a situation merits gratitude. I tend to say thanks and sorry as often as I talk. And I started to realize that, like, with my boss, at the close of every conversation, I would say, thanks. And she's a very cool boss, and will just show on her face what she's thinking. And I'm pretty sure what she's thinking in those situations is, honestly, we covered nothing. There's zero reason for a thank you there. Why not just say bye or say nothing? Those would be good things. That's when I first started to notice it. And so, yeah, I have a lot of difficulty with that. And yeah, I'll say sorry instead of pardon or excuse me. Although I will say this, okay, I know you didn't ask me about pet peeves, but I do have one. Hey. And yes. That is, especially when somebody has expressed that something terrible has happened to them, and I say, oh, I'm so sorry. And they say, it's not your fault. I'm like, no shit, it's not my fault. Damn straight, it's not my fault. Yeah. I feel very sorry that happened. It's an empathetic sorry.
Maybe you should just say thank you
instead. You know what? Actually, that would be a good two-step process. Mm-hmm. Just to replace my sorries with thanks.
And thanks with sorries?
No. Just drop the sorry, move over to thanks, mm-hmm. and that's more socially awkward than almost anything else I could do. And then that social awkwardness will maybe be like the snap on the wrist of a rubber band.
Yes, yeah. Let's give her some practice. Molly?
Yes.
I got fired from my job today.
Thanks.
Oh, I love it.
Checks out.
Yep.
Yeah. That's real good. Yeah. It's real good.
It seemed genuine, too. Oh,
she's very good at seeming genuine. Yay. Yep. Thanks. Oh,
thanks.
Thanks. Thanks.
And that has been Phillip's Corner.
Yay. 4 for 4.
Yeah, thank God Molly pulled in that pet peeve part.
Yeah, it was dicey. It was dicey.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys ready to do some improvisation?
Oh, oh. Wow. Next up,
Pats! Welcome to Larry's Bagel Shack.
Hi, Larry.
Ew.
Do you have any more everything bagels? Because I was in here yesterday, and the guy working, Sid, he said that the everything bagel was out.
And I'm not going to give you any.
Sid took all of the everything bagels.
Did you get more in stock? That doesn't really answer my question. I'm mostly concerned about if there's bagels happening today or if there's bagels like yesterday's bagels or yesterday's news.
I am mostly concerned about how Sid also took my heart.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Larry.
Yeah, I know. I gave him 5 years of devotion. I have worked at this counter for that long. And he took all of the bagels and left in his Ferrari.
I guess I'll take a sesame bagel. And if you have any garlic powder, I would take that on there. I guess that's what I'll order instead then.
Well, Mr. Daltrey, all the paperwork seems to be in order, so...
Of course it's in order. I've double-checked everything.
Well, it's my job to double-check them. That's not necessary.
Technically, that'd be a triple-check, because they've already been double-checked.
Well, Mr. Daltrey, I appreciate your commitment to checking the paper, but that's entirely not necessary. I'm perfectly capable of checking the paper myself.
Excuse me, Mr. Daltrey. Roger, do you want me to double-check this for you? Here, let me double-check.
Oh, that's not necessary. It was already tripled.
Quite frankly, would that be quarter-checked? How would you say that? Four-time checked.
I checked those papers that you asked me to check.
What?
I checked your papers that you asked me to check.
Which papers? These papers?
All the papers that you asked me to check. Papers. I checked all the papers.
It appears that these papers check out.
Was that a joke, or are you trying to be...
No, I'm not joking.
I can never tell with you. Them. Every time you make a joke, you never say ha-ha or LOL or anything, and I think, oh, this...
I never joke about papers.
Oh, that's true.
Let me take a look at those papers. I'll double check.
The papers have been checked. Dolores, the papers have been checked. You don't need to butt your way into every aspect of my life.
Clearly, my papers have checked out. Can I please enter the Czech Republic?
Well, howdy there, partner. You've been riding this range a long time?
Oh, yeah, I've been riding a long time. I grew up out in the hills of the state of Tennessee.
Oh, that's a long... You're a long way from home out here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I thought I'd just explore the range of the United States of America.
Well, it's a great country to be sure.
Say, now, what's that flying up in the sky? Oh, dear God!
You silly, silly Billy. That's a bald eagle. He's native to this part in Oklahoma.
Yeah, I thought it was one of them fire-breathing dragons I hear so much about reading on that George R. R. Martin novels.
Oh, you're talking about a song of Ice and Fire by George R. R. Martin?
I spooked the horses.
Well, they're really taking off now. They're free. My horse is only through book three, so he's real sensitive to spoilers. Don't talk much about Melisandre, if you know what I mean.
I thought it was pronounced me.
Well, there goes that bald eagle off with a horse again. Guess it's just me, old Dusty, riding the range. What do you think, horse? Are you excited that the HBO show is going to advance past the novel?
Nay.
I would like to buy the brown coat, Mom.
I don't see why not. Can you check the price tag first? I've only brought $50. Oh boy.
But I want the brown coat. I feel like it makes me look hip.
Well, you know, Marshall, we're a little tight on cash currently. I lost my job.
I can't put a price tag on the kids not beating me up this year.
Marshall, I you know that I'm your best friend, and I'll always be there for you, so...
I know, Mom, but if you're my best friend, then I would think that you'd be excited about me not coming home with broken bones and black eyes.
Oh, well, you know...
Hey, Marshall, what is that, like a $100 coat?
It's $170. It's a brown coat.
I can barely tell because my coat is $1,000.
Hey, yeah. Marshall, you look like a turd with feet.
Yeah, you look like a $170 turd. Get ready for a pounding.
You're so pounding.
Many broken bones. We're pounding you.
Yeah.
Go back to your mom and tell her to make 10 times that salary, like my mom does.
And my mom.
But she struggled to buy this for me.
Your dad probably doesn't even stay at home and live with you.
No, he left a long time ago.
Yeah, all our dads stay at home and take care of us while our moms make all the money.
Except my dad, who died, but he had a sweet life insurance policy.
Yeah. Tell your dad to have gotten a life insurance policy and then die.
Yeah, Marshall, tell your mom she probably makes 75 cents on the dollar. even to that guy's dead dad. Yeah.
My dad makes more money than your mom.
That's probably true, but you know what the worst part is? I've never seen my mom have a nice conversation that wasn't about me with another lady.
Shut up! More pounding! Let's go buy some Rolexes, you guys.
Yeah!
Hello, welcome to my shop. I have many things for you to buy. Do you like monkey bread or...
Sorry, monkey bread?
Yeah, monkey bread.
Did you say monkey bread?
I said the monkey bread. Do you like to buy monkey bread? We have every possible flavor of monkey bread.
Can you list every possible flavor?
Yes, of course. Yeah. We have garlic monkey bread. Mm. We have poppy seed monkey bread. We have sesame seed monkey bread. Cinnamon toast crunch monkey bread.
Ooh, okay.
Did the garlic? Did I say garlic? Yeah. Onion the monkey bread. Plain the monkey bread. Egg a monkey bread. Pancake syrup, monkey bread. Crayola crayon, monkey bread.
Mm-hmm. That's high in calorie and low in...
Mint monkey bread. Spearmint monkey bread. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We have a monkey bread that tastes umami. Do you know umami?
Yeah, yes. Right in the middle of the tongue.
Umami monkey bread. Yeah. In that same zone, sushi monkey bread. Mm-hmm, tastes like a fish. We've got chicken monkey bread. Tastes like chicken. Monkey bread. Tastes like monkey. Asparagus pea monkey bread. Tastes like, you know, you pee after eating asparagus. Smells bad. We have that, if you like. We have 10 more flavors, of course. They are wood monkey bread. Tastes like wood.
Door kick! Immigration! Down on the ground, motherfucker!
Don't bust me! I am American Joe. I have a passport here. These papers were checked many times.
Are you gentlemen associated with this criminal?
Oh, we were just listening to a list.
I'm sorry, what?
A list of parts
to build a dirty bomb?
No, of monkeys.
Get on the ground, all of you, get on the ground!
Right, cuff
him, horse.
Get your hoofs off me, you dirty...
I'll take the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You guys got monkey bread here?
Yeah, we have every flavor of a monkey bread.
Can you list it for me again?
What kind are we talking here?
Well, you have a garlic monkey bread. You get poppy seed monkey bread. You get sesame seed monkey bread. You have garlic... onion monkey bread. We have plain monkey bread.
Freeze! Get on the ground! Oh, man, Frank, you already got this
one? What are you doing here?
Well... I took the other side of the street, but there wasn't nobody to bust, so I came in here.
You're supposed to be sweeping the area. What are you doing?
I swept. I mean, I looked.
There could be dirty bombs rolling around all over the place out there.
I didn't see nothing, you know, and I got bored.
Hey, chicken monkey. No transactions, but we're having an official federal conversation.
Hey, why didn't you get on the ground? She told you to get on the ground.
Oh, sorry, Todd.
No, that's okay. I get it. I didn't know you'd already secured the environment.
Well, but still, I mean, I should, you know, even though you're 2 years my junior, I should respect your authority. No, you're a federal agent.
That horse is also still standing.
It's very unhealthy for a horse to go on the ground when it's not in a proper position. It needs room to spread out, otherwise its legs could break.
Monkey bread?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What?
Just listing the monkey bread flavors.
Are you selling horse parts, sir?
Just a flavored like horse.
Well, how do you do that?
We take, you know, after you have ridden the horse.
Show me with the horse.
Okay, just brush. Brush the sweaty horse.
It's okay,
horse,
Star Wipe. It's
and
okay.
I take this sweaty horse sweat, and I put it into the monkey bread dough.
Starlight, pound him!
Ow.
Thank God none of us have body cameras.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Without me? You went without me?
Yeah, I didn't think you wanted to go. You said you don't really like race movies, so I saw Furious 7 without you.
Oh, you did not. I have seen 1 through 3, which are the worst ones. And I've heard about 7. I was told it was good. Was it good?
It was good.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
Was it better than spending time with me not watching a movie?
Some of the times better than some of the times. Like when we're just like sitting around is better than those times. Like when we were at your mom's house.
Yeah.
It was better than that. When we went to the roller coaster park, but yeah, just the parts where we're waiting in line, it was better than that. When we went to that bagel store.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any bagels we wanted. It was better than that.
Door kick! Immigration! Down the ground, motherfucker!
No!
You too, lady!
Oh, no!
We have reports that there are some non-white characters having a fully fleshed out conversation in this room. You just need to check your paperwork.
I'm Greek.
Stand... What?
I'm Greek.
Hey!
We weren't trained for this.
Shut up, horse, I am.
Wait, honey, have you been arrested before?
Yeah, lots of times.
Did you get arrested without me?
Yeah.
All right, Jackson.
Yeah.
Turns out on this week's report, Greeks are no longer considered white.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Should I just go around town, like, just ask around, or are we kind of, is this like a sting?
Well, we need to make sure that there aren't any white characters, non-white characters, I should say, having conversations that imply agency.
Oh, okay. So should I just like go to the restaurants and just kind of like hide in the back and like make sure they're just talking about like...
Just be ready to kick some doors.
Oh, absolutely, Chief. Sure. I've been working on my door kick all week. Like, like this. Get
nice.
The swing.
Nice.
I got new boots and everything.
Yeah, that's
I even
some
gave
good
Star
hip turn.
Wipe. I gave Star Wipe some new shoes. So Star Wipe can do a couple door kicks too. Isn't that right, Star Wipe? It's a real good horse, Chief. I know there's not much in the budget for keeping horses anymore, but...
I gotta tell you, though, Jackson, I'm a little bit worried that the budget's...
What?
The budget's gonna call for horses to be considered not white soon, too.
Are those... Pe- pencil pushers in City Hall gonna try to take away Star Wipe again? Chair kick! Stool kick! Desk flip!
Hey,
I'm sorry.
Son, you need to get a hold of your damn self.
I'm sorry. I get so mad when people want to bring down Star Wipe. I mean, what did Star Wipe ever do to us?
Well, let's remember all those things that Star Wipe once did to us.
Well,
what is that time?
Star Wipe, I was going to eat that bagel.
Starwipe, get out of the bathroom. You've been in there for an hour.
Starwipe, did you put the colors and the whites in the laundry at the same time? My white shirts are all pink.
Starwipe, that's my wife.
Starwipe, you said you were going to stay with me forever.
Starwipe, they're all dead. You're a mass murderer.
Starwipe, your mission is completed. Return to Horse Planet immediately. What? You've grown fond of the humans? Starwipe, you've betrayed us all. You were the chosen one! Oh, Starwipe, the eagles are attacking the Horse Planet again. Starwipe, you're the last of us.
The last horse riding through town. The last horse, coats all brown. The last horse kicking in doors. The last horse
eating s'mores.
Last horse, last horse, last horse, last horse.
I wanted to say a thing or two about Starwipe. You know, when I was feeling really down and I didn't have a job and my girlfriend had just dumped me, you know, Starwipe was there for me to just like nuzzle me back up. And it was just really, really put me back on track to getting my life back together.
Thanks, so, thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing, Rodney.
Thanks.
I remember when I was about to relapse into alcoholism and I was about to take that first drink and Starwipe came crashing through the saloon doors and kicked that glass right out of my hand.
I remember when I broke my leg and the doctor was going to shoot me and Starwipe's, you know, by virtue of example and some emphatic neighing, let him know that he could just set my leg and not shoot me down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, that's very powerful.
I remember one time I needed a ride to the airport, but my car was broken. And
oh, God, no.
Starwipe.
What happened?
It's okay.
Got me there. And I got on the plane on time.
It sounds like Starwipe.
I once went to this bagel shop, and I just really wanted an everything bagel. And they were all out. Because, I don't know, there was some weird thing where the disgruntled employees had a whole thing. They probably used to sleep together or something. But
boom! Door crash! On the floor, motherfuckers! We had reports of a horse funeral going up here. You can't have funerals for non-white people.
What?
Which horses are now classified as non-whites.
What? Hey, this is bullshit!
Oh, you want bullshit?
This is brutality!
Stop!
Excuse me, could I double check that report and make sure that it's that's actually true?
Get away from me.
I want to double check the paperwork.
No.
I'm going to double check your paperwork.
Paperwork's been checked so many times
I'm
already.
I'm going to have to check that.
Yeah, here, you
check
can,
that report yeah, against the video footage no. on the new cameras we've installed in
Boom,
all the
Boom, door kicked down on the ground, motherfuckers. We got a report of some unlicensed paper checking at this horse funeral.
What?
Hey.
Put the papers down, sir. Sir?
Right.
Sir, I will tase you. Put the papers down.
All right, give the papers to me. I'll
check those papers that you guys asked for.
Lydia, I cannot believe that even happened to you at the workplace.
I know. Can you? I was just sitting there, and then all of a sudden, things just happened to me.
It reminds me of, like, every Lifetime movie I have ever watched. That is an abusive environment.
Right? I need to leave right now.
Well, make sure you say my name before you go.
Okay, Marcia.
Thanks, Lydia. I'm glad we had this talk.
All right. Bechdel test. Check.
Welcome to Czechoslovakia. We have so many things you can see here. We have the big tower. We have a clock.
Okay, Marshall, yeah. Look at your damn brand card. You're so stupid.
No, I'm just trying to give tour.
Hey, Marshall, you look like poop from butts.
It's the only code allowed to us under Soviet Union.
Hey, everyone, look at Marshall and his dumb poop coat.
Marshall, you so look like you go to the bathroom.
You look like poop with legs.
No, it's just a coat.
Hey,
it's
hey everybody, poop. He looked like monkey bread poop.
Oh, Marshall, we're going to call you Marshall Monkey Bread.
Marshall Monkey Bread.
That's not my name, it's just Marshall.
Let's pound him verbally. Pound, 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 pound.
Marshall, touch wood, touch wood.
Marshall, it's me, Starwipe, your spirit horse. Get on my back, Marshall.
Okay, here
verbal
we go.
Verbal pound, verbal pound.
Get that scary horse out of the way.
Mean words, mean words.
Here I go, a leap. Marshall and Starwipe, horses flying through the Czechoslovakia. I'm flying through the air like a Superman.
Marshall, take off your coat. You don't have to look like poop no more.
But it's so cold, isn't it, Starwipe?
No, I'll keep you warm with my horse heat.
Okay. Oh, Marshall, you're so hot.
You're Marshall.
I'm Marshall.
No, we're both Marshall.
We are one.
Horse and man, one forever. Horse and man, coming together.
Babe, so this is a Czechoslovakian remake of A Neverending Story?
I mean, that's how I remember it. But I was 10 when I saw the original, so I'm not really sure.
Can you hand me another slice of pizza?
Oh, yeah. Do you want delicious pepperoni pizza?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, pizza. Wow. Yay. Let's all freak out because it's so good.
Don't tell me.
Get in there, Jackson. You can't just kick the door and stand in the
it's
door.
It's not the same without Starwipe. I don't know what to do.
Pull yourself together, man. There's people having pizza in there.
God damn it. All right. Everybody down.
With conviction,
down
man.
Down on the ground. There's some unlicensed pizza talk happening. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. Hey, you're free to go. I don't even care anymore.
I can't believe you.
Take my badge. I don't care.
I
take
will.
My taser. I don't care.
I will. I've taken the
take
both.
My out uniform.
Your brown poop coat?
Yeah.
You look like poop in it.
Fine. I'll keep the coat.
Yeah, keep it and look like poop for the rest of your life.
That's how I feel. Because
that's what you are.
I feel like a poop that's been abandoned by his horse.
You're a lonely road apple on a dusty trail to nowhere.
That's right.
That's what you are.
I'm gonna move to Nashville and write a song.
You just made a old hay and oats stuck together. Matrix of...
Wait, let me write this down. This is good lyrics.
Poop. Anyway.
Big mean eagle swooping down.
Cawing, there's the eagle.
Oh no.
Here we are, horses in danger. Clap, 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 clap. Hey, it's me, a Western man.
Door kick down the ground. We got a report of shitty non-visual improv happening over here.
No, we're just doing some scene work.
Hey, I'm a third person.
Oh, hey, you should enter.
Okay, here I am.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, could you heighten the scene, please?
I'm dying.
I'm having an emotional reaction to that.
Hey, guys, I just brought some pizza. Do you guys want to take a pizza break?
Yeah, let me add some detail. It has got black olives on it. Is that okay, Mom?
I guess so.
Hey, guys, it's me, a non-white character.
I'm not going to give you a name, because... That's what we've been talking about.
Next at bat!
And that's our show. Thank you to the cast and crew and production design team, PR firm, and all of that of Totes Recall.
None of those are me.
You're the cast?
You're the cast.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you to
Dan Linden.
Beth Gibbs.
Dan Jaquette.
Molly Chase.
And Totes Recall is a podcast that's on noisepicnic.com. Could you tell the listening audience how people can hear it and when the next one is going to be coming out?
Yeah, the next episode will drop on the 15th of April, and it is Chinatown. New episodes drop on the 15th of every month, and you can find them at totesrecall.com or subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher or
TuneIn.
Whatever that is.
Apparently you can get it in your car, so that's fun if you have a fancy car.
And you guys are on Noise Picnic too.
Yes. Oh yeah, Totes Recall redirects to Noise Picnic.
Yeah. Do you guys have a favorite episode that you've done?
The African Queen always stands out for me. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I think it feels like such a bizarre pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think a good one that if people wanted to check out the show, I think a good one would probably be like The Little Mermaid, because mm-hmm. most people have mm-hmm. seen it, so it'll be fun for you to remember that movie. And also it gets real dirty.
My suggestion is The Home Alone, because you come up with a good alternate theory.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
That was a 100% genuine epiphany that has changed my life.
Change your life.
Just mine, though.
You guys also have a newsletter now.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. It just came out. Someone said it was a good idea to have a newsletter, so we have one. We have 10 subscribers, so it would be really great if you wanted to check us out on noisepicnic.com or totesrecall.com. It's very easy to sign up, and we make it very entertaining, and we include a section about regrets, because we always have regrets post a podcast record.
Are you going to team up with Regrets Lab?
Oh.
Synergy!
Also on noisepicnic.com. Philip, what do you have coming up?
Well, this was a fun episode.
Yeah, it was.
You know what? There's a huge Hangout auction happening right now. It closes on Tuesday.
Yes.
If you're listening to this right away, you can be a guest on this show, Next at Bat.
That's right. What is the price right now? Just over 100?
Just over 100 currently.
Yeah. You could be, you and a couple of friends could be guests on this show, just like these four wonderful people were today, and they were hilarious. You don't have to be hilarious if you don't want to be.
We paid $300.
Just have to know how to go to eBay and do a search for merchandise under Huge Theater.
Mm-hmm. Seller:Huge Theater will also work in those spaces.
You can also see my team, The Local Music Scene, the last Sunday every month at the Bryant Lake Bowl. This month's musical guest is Charlie Van Stee of the band Van Stee.
Mm-hmm. And next month is Courtney McLean.
From the Dirty Curls.
Yeah, and from Next Up. That episode hasn't dropped yet.
That'll come out next month.
Yeah,
preview. Right.
Yeah, well, we have a show with her, and she's great. I'm going to be coaching a show that is produced by Philip's group, the Houlihans, on Tuesdays at the new Phoenix Theater.
Had the Improv Happy Hour at mm-hmm. Phoenix Theater, the first and third Tuesday of the month, starting in May. We just had auditions, and we'll be forming teams on those auditions.
Tonight, actually. Yeah, and so that's going to be super fun. I'll be coaching along with Max Leibowitz, Kevin Albertson, Dave Kapelhoff, and Becky Schmidt.
Keep in touch with us at mm-hmm. noisepicnic.com. I'm going to say that again. On noisepicnic.com. You don't have to say it like an old Jewish woman. Noise. Also, nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com and facebook.com/nextatbat.
Check us out on iTunes. Subscribe to our podcast. Rate and review. Give us 5 stars because we're great. And use your words to let us know how much you enjoy it. Do the same thing for Totes Recall. That stuff helps out podcasts a lot to get to people that don't already know about them. Tune in next week when we're going to be talking to the Hall of Presidents. That's you guys, right? And until then, thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting our show.
And as always,
door kick!